Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and joining me in the studio right now is Democratic candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Lon Johnson. Lon, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
Made your way up here to Hone. I appreciate that. You have some things going on this week while you're in town, so you take some time to stop out and talk to us. First, let me ask you, what made your decision to run?
Well, I decided to run for Congress because I'm fed up with Washington. What we're seeing out of our government of late has been just nothing but partisan gridlock. It's not getting anything done for the people who are here working and making a living every day. Washington's working great for you if you're on Wall Street or frankly on welfare. But it's not working for you if we're getting stuck with the bill. We've got to build a Northern Michigan and a UP where our families can stay and succeed. We've got to work, and to do that, we need to invest in and protect our greatest assets, our people, our land, and our Great Lakes. And that's why I'm running, is to create a UP and a Northern Michigan where our families can stay and succeed.
Can you explain that a little further? What did you mean by Washington works for if you're in Wall Street or welfare?
Well, look, when you look at our government, it's not helping people who are out there working every day for a living and worrying about the bills that they have. How are they going to provide for their family? How is their family going to survive in the future? How are they going to get ahead? And it seems when you look to Washington, all the attention is being paid towards a very small few. And we have to change that. We have to send people to Washington that are going to bust through these partisan gridlock, partisan games that are being played, and get to work and roll up their sleeve and get to work for people who are actually, paying the bills here. We need a government that's every bit as honest and hardworking as the people who pay for it. And what we've seen out of Washington is anything but that.
Until recently, you were head of the Democratic Party here in Michigan until you decided to run. Why did you feel to make the jump from, being part of our state government to being part of national government?
Well, the best place to make that change, to build that Northern Michigan and UP where our families can stay and succeed, is with being a member of Congress. I want to do three things here to help create a place where we can stay and succeed. Number one, I want to return passenger rail service back to the UP in Northern Michigan. Number two, we use these rail lines to haul lumber out for decades, and we still have the right-of-ways. We need to get these rail lines working again, bringing people to us, getting tourists up here, spending money. Imagine what we could, what would happen to the economy of the UP if we had a line running from the Sioux all the way over to Duluth, with spurs going up to, Houghton and Escanaba and Marquette. Number two, we need high-speed internet and mobile cell phone service in all our communities. We're massively moving towards an economy where people can live and work wherever they want, but we're not ready. And, when people can live and work wherever they want, they're going to choose where it's beautiful, and that's what we have. And number three, we have to position the UP in Northern Michigan as the world's thought leader on the use and protection of fresh water. In 20 years' time, nations will be going to war over fresh water. We have to show the world how to use and protect fresh water. 21% of the world's fresh water is right here in our backyard. We are perfectly positioned to show the world how to use and protect it. And from that, thousands of jobs can be created. The same way that Stanford created Silicon Valley. We can create a water institute here and show the world how to use and protect fresh water. All of what I'm talking about here is really taking a playbook out of our ancestors. We led the world first in fur trade in the 1700s. Then we led the world in lumber. Then we led the world in mining. All of that's about our forefathers looking around and seeing what assets do we have here and how do we create a better place and how do we create a better world. And we can do that again. And that's what this campaign's about.
Well, I certainly agree with that observation because my son, who went to school downstate, he's graduated now. He's in the Army. He's in his early 20s. Just got married recently. And what he has heard in school about people living up here is that there's nothing up here but a bunch of people who basically are on welfare because there's no jobs, and it's a miserable place to live, and people are unhappy. I said, that's not how it is up here at all. We've got a proud tradition. Mm-hmm. We believe we still have a great future to look forward to, whether it's with high-tech industry, that's certainly being developed and supported.
Hardworking, smart, proud people. in northern Michigan and the UP. What we need are leaders that are going to go to Washington and to get things done for them, not for Wall Street, not for, you know, the wealthy and the well-connected. We need someone who's going to go to Washington, work with the community, create a long-term vision, and work to get it done. And that's precisely what I'll do.
We have a special affinity to the Great Lakes, and of course, especially Lake Superior in our area. Mm-hmm. What do you see are the biggest threats to the Great Lakes, and what could be done to them?
Well, first off, the most immediate are this, you know, the Asian carp. You know, we need a member of Congress who's going to go down to Washington and beat on desks until that is eradicated. This, well, let's do another study, or let's figure this or that out. Meanwhile, those Asian carp are coming up closer and closer to our Great Lakes. So number one, that's an immediate threat. Number two, you know, we've got this oil pipeline that's moving 500,000 barrels a day through the Straits of Mackinac. 500,000 barrels a day. It's 63 years old, and it's owned by the same company that was responsible for the largest oil pipeline disaster in the United States history, Enbridge. Now, no one wants an oil. We've got to move oil. I'm not opposed to oil. And pipelines are the smartest way to move that oil. But the situation we have is a 63-year-old pipeline that has not been independently tested. This pipeline needs to be shut down, independently tested, and either fixed or replaced. We've got to have a safe pipeline. And right now, this company will not allow this pipeline to be independently inspected. I'm sorry, I don't trust corporate America to come back and tell me that this pipeline's safe. It's 63 years old, and there's 500,000,000 barrels a day running through this thing. You know, look, we just saw most recently with Volkswagen, a private company telling us, oh, everything's fine, don't worry, look the other way. You know, I don't trust anyone when it comes to our Great Lakes. We need to independently verify that this pipeline is safe. And so, number one, Asian carp. Number two, we've got to make sure that we shut this pipeline down and we independently inspect it and make sure that it's safe before we get to winter. Number three, you know, we've got the biggest protection we can do is make sure that people aren't coming here to take our water. And the best way to do that, again, is to show the world and our country, other states and other countries, how to better use and protect fresh water. You know, water is not a generation issue. We can't create more fresh water. It's an efficiency issue. So we have to show the world how to better use water.
A situation did come up a few months ago where a study was done where it was discovered that there were no laws that kept you from pumping water out of the Great Lakes. And so nearby states were doing this for irrigation purposes. And, of course, other people were thinking, wow, we could load up tankers of water and ship them somewhere, you know, believing as a resource that, you know, you could take a bucket out of Lake Superior and it doesn't really matter. You start taking out millions of buckets.
Taking millions of buckets and there's another matter.
There's another matter.
Yes, sir.
So when you talk about fighting over our Great Lakes, how do we protect that?
Well, you know, first off, we got to think long term, and that's showing people how to better use and protect fresh water. Number two, we have to make sure that our laws are up to date with the technologies of people who want to take our water. You know, some of these laws were put on the books in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, and they haven't been revisited. We have to make sure that that we're not pumping for oil or natural gas inside our Great Lakes. We have to make sure that private companies can't come here and take this water, and we have to reinforce these compacts that we're both, you know, national and international compacts that we have are up to date regulatory wise, so that other states or countries can't take our water.
Another big issue we face up here that I'm sure you're aware of, I'd just love to hear your thoughts on it, is energy. You know, we're kind of out of the way for things. We get a lot of our energy, some of it's independently produced. We've had energy shipped over from Wisconsin. There's talk about putting a power line, basically sending energy from downstate and putting us on the grid downstate. You'll be representing the first district. What's your opinions on what we should be looking at in the future?
Well, we have a real problem here. We pay some of the highest energy rates, electricity rates in the country. You know, right now, and right now we also have a problem with, you know, these plants here at any point could leave us, or, you know, people are discussing hooking us up to the lower grid, northern lower grid. What we need to do is move towards renewable energy here in this, in both in the UP and in northern Michigan. You know, we've now come to a point where renewable energy is cheaper than coal-fired in many instances. We've got to start thinking 5 and 10 years ahead and bring in and start planning for renewable energy generation here with, you know, 10 to 15, whether it's biomass, whether it's solar, whether it's wind, geothermal. We have to start planning ahead, or we're going to continue to pay the highest rates in the country.
Well, these ideas have been around for a while. They're, and we've seen, you know, in small pockets when
you have elected officials who accept thousands and thousands of dollars from the oil and energy industry, and that's why you're not getting the change you deserve, and that's why one of the reasons why you're paying the highest rates in the country.
Okay, well, that you jumped on my gun, but yeah, that's what I was going with. Was
we don't have time for anything but the truth.
You know, with geothermal, I've seen presentations concerning it in small pockets. We've got biomass energy being produced, but not on a large scale. Certainly not something that can cover the entire Upper Peninsula. So that would be why, in your opinion, why it's
we need to start investing in renewable energy, and you know it can be done. And you know the thing that I would say to your listeners, it can't get any worse. You're paying the highest rates in the country. Why is that? Because your leaders failed to make the needed investments to in renewable energy now. We've got to start now, and that will pay off in the months and years ahead on our energy costs. Right now, why are we having a debate moving jobs away from the UP so that we can be hooked up and dependent upon lower Michigan or some other state on their energy source? We should be self-sufficient, and we can be self-sufficient, but you need leaders who have the vision and ability to get that done.
Mining, because this will come up quite a bit.
Sure.
Eagle Mine over in Marquette County, the work that they're doing. There's another company that is looking at some mines here in Keweenaw and Onondaga County as well. Mm-hmm. What would be your stance on pushing for more mining?
Well, look, the UP is dependent upon, we're a more, in the UP, we're a more resource-based economy. And we need to, we have, whether it's mining, logging, natural gas, we have terrific assets here. We have to extract those assets in a responsible way to create jobs here and to further our economy. And I'm in support of mining, logging, but again, we have to do it in such a way to keep the UP both beautiful and profitable. We got to strike that balance, but we can. Our forefathers did it; we can do it too.
Some of the environmental groups that are up here, you know, they say they're for mining, but they say they're for zero impact mining, meaning that there would be no damage, no effect at all to the environment while mining is being done. Might be difficult to do. Is that where you would you put yourself in that category where the environment would come first?
Well, it's not an either or. You know, again, it's a you need leaders in government that will strike that balance. How do we create a UP where our families can stay and succeed, but also keep us both beautiful and profitable? We have to look. This is not an academic exercise here. We have to make money. We have to earn a living. Many people, thousands, depend on those jobs, and so we have to have leaders that understand that balance. And we'll strike that balance, and I'll be one of them.
Talking right now,
both sides are talking past each other, and it's all or nothing for either side. And we need to have members of Congress and elected leaders that are willing to bring folks to the table, and let's have a conversation about how do we keep northern Michigan and the UP both beautiful and profitable. We can do both.
Talking right now with Lon Johnson. He's the Democrat candidate for the 1st Congressional District. Lon, when you announced your candidacy, you believed that you were going to be running up against the incumbent Congressman Dan Benishek. That has changed with his announcement of retirement. And Tom Casperson, our state senator from this area, is going to be your opponent at this point right now. Of course, we've still got primaries, got everything going on. But at least it's the way the field looks right now. Does that change how you approach what you're doing?
No. What we started this campaign talking about the same things we're talking about now. How are we going to create a UP in a northern Michigan where our families can stay and succeed? We have no time for nebulous conversations, nebulous slogans from politicians. You're going to hear from me precisely what I think needs to be done to create that. We need to bring back passenger rail service to northern Michigan. We need high-speed internet, mobile cell phone service, and we need to show the world how to better use and protect fresh water. In the meantime, We have to use. We have to extract our resources here in a responsible way. We have to protect these Great Lakes by shutting this pipeline down and keeping the Asian carp out. But you need a congressman who is going to go to Washington and put away these partisan games and get things done.
What is your ties to the Upper Peninsula? Your opponents have pointed out that it's a very thin tie. How would you respond to that?
You know, my family came to northern Michigan around the turn of the century. I'm the fifth generation of my family to live in northern Michigan. You know, this, you know, voters are less interested about where I live or where I'm from and more interested in where they're going. They want to know where their leaders are going to, how are they going to create jobs? How are they going to create better opportunity? What's their stance on the environment? What's their stance on education? What's their stance on energy? That's what the vote, you know, these issues, what voters want to know is how are they going to create, you know, how are they going to be able to stay in the UP or stay in northern Michigan and succeed? And how are their kids going to be able to do that? You know, you just, you know, I oftentimes I go into rooms and I ask people how many of their kids have left to go to school or, you know, left northern Michigan or the UP to go to school or to find work. Literally 70-80% of the hands go up. Look, I know that conversation. I've had that conversation with my family. I've gotten in my car and driven away, not knowing if I was able to ever be able to come back. I was able to come back, thank God, and I'm dedicated. You know, I'm dedicated to creating a place where that doesn't have to happen. That's within our power to create a UP in a northern Michigan where our families can stay and succeed, and that's what I'm going to do.
A lot of those people who raise their hand that left to go to school somewhere else or get a job somewhere else, oftentimes they come back.
That's right. But we need them. We need them to. We need them to come back earlier. We need them to never leave. Yeah. You know, we can create a UP in a northern Michigan where our families can stay and succeed.
Education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got some of the finest schools, I believe, in the country. We certainly rank really well when it comes to the state, and without all the financial distress that they have in lower Michigan in certain areas. And I'm proud of that. My daughter now goes to school here, so kudos to our school. For education in the Upper Peninsula, making sure we have enough teachers, making sure that we have enough resources, how would you make sure that happened?
Well, first off, you know, what we're seeing out of many of our politicians is that they're slowly cutting education. They're cutting it, you know, I'm sure your listeners have seen that their children's classrooms are more crowded. Their bus services has been lessened. Their extracurricular activities have been cut. This is all, you know, we're seeing politicians that are trying to move education into the private or charter realm versus public education. You need a member of Congress that is 100% for public education. We need, you know, in northern Michigan and the UP, we have very little options. Even if charters or private schools were funded by the federal or state governments, there's very little options for that. We have to invest in public education, and that's what you're going to get from me.
What other things are you going to be bringing up during your campaign?
Well, again, it's all about what the voters, you know, in my opinion, what this election will be continuously about is who is better positioned to create a UP and a northern Michigan where our families can stay and succeed. I believe in doing that. To do that, we need to invest in and protect our greatest assets, our people, our land, and our Great Lakes. These are not, you know, we need to invest in ourselves. We have terrific people. We have great assets, our people, and our land, and our Great Lakes, but they need to be invested in. These are not government giveaways. We need to invest in and protect our greatest assets. The best thing, you know, there's no better government program than like a job. Right? A job trumps any sort of other government program. And what we need is to put people to work. And we do that by investing in and protecting our greatest assets, our people, our land, and our Great Lakes. Imagine for a moment what if we had passenger rail service from here to Duluth. From Houghton to Duluth, what would happen there? Bringing people here, you know, Thursday through Sunday, coming in spending money on their on tourism dollars, what that would do to our tourism industry. Imagine if we had high-speed internet and mobile cell phone service everywhere where people could work from wherever they chose. Imagine if we had a water institute here. Think about this for a moment. How was Silicon Valley created?
I don't know.
40 years ago, The government leaders in California started investing into Stanford into computer science, computer engineering, and digital digital science. They started investing in computer science, and from that, Silicon Valley was created. Now we can do the same with fresh water. We need a water institute. Put 5 to 7 Nobel Prize winning scientists on the board. Start competing for the millions that are being spent on the research and protection of fresh water. And from that, an entire industry can be created. In 20 years' time, nations will be going to war over fresh water. And what are we doing to prepare for that?
Well, you're familiar with the Great Lakes Research Center. Absolutely. At Michigan Tech, right?
Yes. And they need more funds. They need somebody fighting for them. Getting that research dollars spent by private businesses, spent by the U.S. government, spent by foreign businesses, spent by foreign governments. We need to create a world-class water institute to show the world how to use and protect fresh water. Because I'll tell you two things that'll happen if we don't. Number one, somebody else will do it, and they'll make the money. Or number two, the other countries will be here for our water. We have to start showing the world how to better use and protect fresh water.
You've brought up the passenger rail service a couple of times, and I'm having trouble picturing how that would come to be. I know downstate they've tried to put a rail line between, just connecting the two sides of the states with Detroit, Chicago, and Grand Rapids, and they've had a lot of difficulty with that.
Well, first off, drive along the scenic stretch. Drive along, you'll see we have the passenger. The hard work's been done by our forefathers. We already own the right of ways. Mm-hmm. First off. Know that. We already have the right of ways. That's the hard part about rail service isn't the lane of the track. It's the right of ways. And we already own those.
Yeah.
You know, it's no different from a highway system. When you lay down highway system, commerce starts to begin to be created. We need these passenger rail lines to be turned back on. When you drive through northern Michigan or the UP, what do you see? Old rail lines, old rail depots, and boarded up hotels across from them. That's how people used to come here. And if we could get these lines back, turned back on, you'll start to see more people coming up here and spending money. And that's what we want.
Yeah, a lot of those old rail lines are now our snowmobile trails.
Well, I think, not all of them.
I know.
But, you know, I think that's, you know, that's the one thing that both the environmental community and the Chamber of Commerce communities would agree. Let's get these rail lines up, let's get them running, and let's get people here spending money. As long as they go home on Sunday, we're all good, right?
Yeah, well, I'd love to be able to visit family taking a rail line down to outside of Detroit and come back up rather than having to take the 10 to 12 hour drive, few times every year.
Imagine if you could take a line from Houghton to Duluth. What that would do for our economy.
So would this be government-run rail service or invested in a private company to pick up the torch?
Well, I think it'll be a collaborative effort between local governments, between state governments, between the federal governments and private industry. You know, it's going to be an all of the above strategy. But if we do nothing, we're going to continue to suffer the consequences of having our children, our grandchildren move away. I'm 44 years old, and I want to go to Washington and roll up my sleeves and get to work and make it so that our families can stay and succeed. Our children and our grandchildren can stay and succeed. That's what I want to do. I'm done. We got to stop sending people to Washington who just continue to play partisan games. That's getting us nowhere.
We're now less than a year from the general election when the voters will decide who will be the congressman for our district during this coming year. What do you have planned?
Well, over the course of a year, I'm here in Houghton. You know, every day we're out there and we're picking up support. We've got over 700 now public supporters. We're building every single day. I would ask people to come by and kick the tires on our candidacy, ask me tough questions, and get answers and demand the answers that you deserve. Or go to lonjohnson.com and learn about our campaign or find out where I'm at next and show up and ask tough questions. That's what you deserve. You deserve answers from your member of Congress. I'll be everywhere all the time.
Again, thank you for stopping in. It was a nice surprise. I appreciate you coming on the program.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.